This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. Let's talk about what the lockdown will mean for the economy. Last Friday night, the government, via an online statement, announced a total lockdown throughout the country from tomorrow onwards. This is part of the first phase of the lockdown, which will last for 2 weeks until June 14th. Only 17 essential economic and service sectors listed by the National Security Council will be allowed to operate during this time.
All manufacturing factories have also been ordered to close, except those on the approved list, and only 60% of the workforce are allowed to be on site. The statement said that if the phase one total lockdown is successful in reducing daily COVID-19 cases, the government will implement a four-week phase two lockdown by allowing the reopening of a few economic sectors.
But the question is, how will this lockdown impact our economy and livelihoods? What kind of assistance is needed to help the already ailing rakyat through these tough times? For more on this, we have with us this morning Tricia Yeo, CEO of the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, better known as IDEAS. Good morning, Tricia. Thanks for joining us today. So the lockdown announcement was made on Friday night via just a statement. And until last evening, there wasn't really much clarification on what sectors could open, while approved manufacturing and manufacturing-related services under METI are instructed to reapply for new letters. How disruptive will this all be to the economy and businesses?
Hi, good morning, and thanks for having me. Well, I think we've been going through this dance of various versions of MCOs and lockdowns for over a year now. And if this time will be any example, well, if the last examples are any gauge of what we're going to experience this time, then what we're seeing is, well, number one, of course, we know that the economic impact is going to be extremely dire. This is similar to MCO 1.0 in March last year, which was implemented, in which the Prime Minister had announced about a 2.4 billion ringgit loss per day of all these sectors closing. And I imagine that this would be similar, perhaps, or if not worse, because, you know, number two, you already have struggling SMEs and retail sectors, F&B, of course, hospitality and tourism. These are the three major sectors that are already being impacted. And from what we've read, the SMEs have already called out for help, saying that many of them are already in situations where they've lost their savings, and they're really operating on debt at the moment. So I think you're actually going to see a very debt-ridden economy, or one that is driven by debt. And thirdly, I think, yes, you pointed out that the sectors were only announced last night. And so you only have all of one day today for the companies to make their applications. And again, if we're looking at examples from the past, these applications were not done in a very efficient manner. The METI website crashed several times last year when the applications were going to come through. And we know that the lockdown is supposed to start tomorrow. I see another fourth complication, which is that, yes, while the government has decided which ones are essential and which ones aren't, you know, we are a very highly connected economy. And there are some sectors that will probably rely on other sectors in order to function and operate. And this actually caused a major supply chain problem when the MCO 1.0 happened last year. So I'm not sure how the government's going to sort that out. And honestly, I think by the time the 2 weeks are up, you know, the issues and the problems probably would not have been sorted out. So it's sort of a situation where the 2 weeks will come and go if it lasts for only 2 weeks.
Do you expect the economic impact to be more severe this year compared to 2020?
I think it will be because, as I said, you know, last year, the companies were still operating based on the savings that they had from the previous year. And now you're already having a very hard-struck sector of the economy, and they're already struggling. So many have already closed down. I'm interested in the data, which hasn't really been forthcoming, like where the owners, the business owners of the businesses that have shut down, like where they've pivoted to. But having said that, I think over the last year, there are companies that have been able to pivot into more digitalization trends, which, of course, we know the pandemic merely exacerbated those trends that were already happening. So the companies that were able to do that quickly and fast enough have been able to survive. But the economic impact of it this year compared to last year, I think, will be more severe. I think we're going to see very acute problems of any shop lots that had a very traditional brick and mortar sort of business model that is going to be completely out the window.
Tricia, this is essentially, in a way, MCO 4.0. What lessons can we learn from all the previous MCOs and versions of lockdowns to help, I guess, or in any way support businesses and the economy in any capacity?
I think the government has had a lot of opportunities to improve themselves in the way these announcements are made, and unfortunately, it has not learned from that. So I would say that in the first place, there are a lot of inconsistencies in the announcements, and you see sometimes reversals taking place just several days apart. So this is not good for confidence in the economy. Foreign investors don't want to see that. So that's one. The second thing would be the inconsistent application of the regulation itself. So we see a lot of inconsistencies, not just in the rules themselves, but in the way they're implemented, where stories emerge of different kinds of treatment being given to different levels of society, and the more connected you are, you get that. And again, this does not lend confidence to the system. I know a third thing, which is not directly related to the MCO, is the larger question of the emergency. So now we know that the emergency is a political one. There's nothing that the government has introduced in the emergency that could not have otherwise been introduced in the MCO. And I've spoken to a lot of foreign investors, and while the government maintains that it is an administrative emergency for pandemic management, the optics are really not good. So investors thinking about coming into the country long term, or rather thinking about the region as a whole, they are not going to be selecting Malaysia as a destination of choice, simply because the word emergency tends to conjure up images of instability, and certainly we are going through that political instability as well. So I think if you're talking about things that are actually going to hamper the economy, we cannot avoid talking about the political instability and the rut that we have not been able to get out of, because that contributes a voluminous amount as well to the stability of the economy.
So what kind of aid or assistance would you like to see the government give to those who would be hardest hit now by this announcement of the latest lockdown? Can the government even afford to give more?
So I'll address that in two parts. The first part, what kind of aid? I think already there have been calls for the automatic loan moratorium to come back. There are also calls for greater aid to come to, of course, the B40 and wage earners who have been hard hit when they don't have jobs, as well as for the SMEs. So I think the government will have to revisit the kinds of aid packages that it had already given out over the last year. The problem is that the Prime Minister, you know, as recently as I think a week or two ago, had said that the government cannot afford another half a trillion package, because that's the quantum that had already been introduced in the past. So this is the second part about whether we can afford it. I think the stage at which we're at is that we just have no choice but to really look into expansionary fiscal measures. So in the past, yes, you know, even organizations like ours and even I have maintained that it's important for fiscal discipline, but we're in very strange and unique times at the moment. We recognize that it is a crisis. It is a time at which the response is needed now more than ever, and it needs to be done immediately. So at this point, I actually agree that there has to be fiscal expansionary measures taken. And if this includes the possibility of introducing new taxes, I would also welcome that. At this stage, you know, ideas have talked about the possibility of a capital gains tax, a CGT. Some countries do have this. Malaysia does not. And at some point, we also need to talk about the very difficult thing about restoring of a value-added tax. And I know this is controversial because this is something that hits the whole population. But perhaps it could be introduced in a slow and progressive manner, in the sense that, you know, we could bring it back, just because the government needs that firepower to be able to spend, but perhaps at a lower rate. So, I mean, I'm just exploring ideas. The point is that we cannot rely so much on oil and gas anymore. This is a resource that is non-renewable. It is naturally going to be depleted over time.
Right.
So the government does need to think about new measures.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Tricia. That was Tricia Yeo, CEO of the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, better known as IDEAS, giving us some insight into the economic impact that she expects to see from this lockdown, as well as some of the aid measures that she believes the government needs to give to help people, tide people through.
Yeah, so the budget planning season is here. I'm sure the Ministry of Finance is going to be super busy, but I certainly am with her, on this capital gains tax, or tax the rich, right? But maybe looking at the sales and service taxes and how that can be tweaked to increase our tax revenue.
Yes, indeed. Plenty of ideas, and we'll have to wait and see what is eventually announced. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.